This is the time of the year when people need to consider their medical aid options for the following year. So in this case, it's for next year, that is 2020. As in the decision of purchasing any other product, there are a number of factors to consider. But this product is quite important because it relates to one's health and being in a position to be attended to at any point of health vulnerability. Well, to take us through some of the issues, I'm joined on the line by Sandy Van Dale. She's a health branch manager in KwaZulu-Natal for Alexander Forbes. Sandy, thanks very much for joining us on the show. Assuming someone already has a medical aid facility, what are some of the factors that might lead them to consider changing their medical aid options for the following year?
Sanompu, thanks very much. Somebody would consider making a change to their medical scheme, you know, based on a number of factors, but mainly what we see happening these days is its affordability. So people are looking for ways, obviously, to keep themselves on a medical scheme, first of all, and then second of all, you know, find some affordability for themselves, obviously, to continue. So, yeah, that would be one of the reasons.
Yes.
The other one is obviously, you know, many people have to make choices these days in terms of who they cover on their medical scheme. And again, we back to affordability.
That's right.
And what people can afford, you know, afford on a month-to-month basis. Everybody's pushed. Everybody's finding most things expensive. Needless to say, medical schemes are also expensive.
Mm.
That's why they would consider to make a change.
Yes. Sandy, a key option within a medical aid plan is that of a medical savings account. Just tell us about that and the purpose it serves and the pros and cons of making sure that you have this facility.
Okay, so medical schemes provide a medical savings account. Some of their options do. Those are typically a mechanism or a vehicle that somebody would have within their medical scheme to help them to fund for day-to-day expenses. So I'm talking specifically about expenses relating to GP consultations, buying a pair of specs, you know, getting your normal medication that you would get after seeing the GP, those kinds of things. And that allows a member, obviously, to have access to those types of benefits and make it available to them. What we do, what we have and what we've got to work within is that medical scheme contributions to a medical savings account are regulated. So we may not contribute more than 25% of our total monthly contribution to a medical savings account,
mm-hmm.
and we therefore limited to the amount of money that we can put into that savings account. So a member would typically know right in the beginning of the year or towards the end of the year what that savings would be for the following year, and that would be in which they'd have to work out benefits for the day-to-day types of things that they would have available to them for the year.
Hmm.
So really the pros on that is that having that built within your medical scheme does make it almost mandatory for you to make provision for your day-to-day expenses. The cons of I think having a medical savings account is that money is not available to you sort of typically speaking at the end of the year, so it's not paid out to you.
Yes.
So you don't get it at the end of the year sort of as a windfall. Any money that's left over at the end of the year gets carried forward to the next year. So, again, just taking a step back in terms of a pro, I'd say, then is that a member doesn't lose any money that they don't use in the savings.
Yes.
But they can't access that money, so to speak, if they stay on a plan similar to the one that they're on, because the savings then has got to roll over, and they then in the new benefit year get access to new benefits plus the additional savings that they've carried over from one year to the next.
The concept of prescribed minimum benefits, what does that speak to? And presumably this applies to all registered medical aid schemes.
It is correct. It's commonly referred to as prescribed minimum benefits. So those are benefits that the scheme is prescribed to provide to a member. Typically speaking, they are really about 270 diagnosis and treatment pairs that get made available to members, as well as 25 chronic conditions that the member has access to. Those are for life-threatening, typically life-threatening conditions.
Mm.
Those are things where the member needs immediate care. And if we relay it back just to the medical savings account, those benefits cannot be paid from your MSA. So when a medical scheme is required to pay a PMB, they may not take those funds from a savings account, but the scheme must make those benefits available to every single member, no matter what plan that member belongs to on a medical scheme.
So if you're quite a healthy type of person who doesn't suffer with any chronic illnesses and the like, perhaps one can opt for a hospital benefit type scheme. Tell us the benefits of those.
So yes, absolutely. Members can opt for a hospital type of plan. Those are typically plans that just cover your in-hospital events. And one thing that members just need to be cautious about is that when we talk about in-hospital benefits, we're talking about you've been booked in, you have that little band around your arm, that is hospital benefits. Often members get confused and say, yes, but I had to make use of the casualty, which should be a hospital benefit. Some schemes don't make provision for that as your hospital benefits. Those typically would become an out-of-pocket expense if you were on a hospital plan. If you had a plan with a medical savings account, those benefits would be paid from your medical savings account.
Hmm.
But there are benefits to members. So when I'm really healthy and I don't want to make a contribution towards a medical savings account, I can opt for a hospital plan. We always caution our members, however, to say, if you are healthy, however, and you're not making provision for any day-to-day benefits through your medical scheme, do remember to try and make a saving for yourself on the side, just in case.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't leave yourself short. But generally, we find healthy members want to opt so that their major medical risks, so those car accidents, you know, having really severe illnesses, can be taken care of, and those are usually done through hospital benefits. But then saying to them on the side, should you need something, just make sure that you have some available money to you to be able to cover those expenses if you do need them.
Any danger that those hospital covers can be exhausted depending on what accident or illness you end up having and, you know, how long you end up in hospital?
So, Nompu, remember that you know, life-threatening conditions in most cases are PMBs or prescribed minimum benefits, and schemes would need to cover those. You would only generally run the risk of running out of in-hospital benefits if you were on a plan that had an overall hospital limit. Now, a lot of the plans available out there generally cover your in-hospital costs unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
Where it becomes more important for a member is how those benefits are covered when you're in hospital. So what is the rate of reimbursement in a medical scheme? Because that you need to be very aware of. What am I reimbursed when I'm in hospital? But overall, there are a lot of schemes that cover your in-hospital costs as an unlimited benefit. And in a prescribed minimum benefits environment, the scheme, are required to cover your costs in full. No costs can come from the medical savings account. You should typically not have a co-payment as a prescribed minimum benefit. So generally speaking, healthy members that choose a hospital plan should have cover that they require, and they've got the prescribed minimum benefit cover built into their plan nonetheless.
Hmm. And just to put you on the spot a little bit, if you have a family and you've got a couple of kids, is it best to go for the hospital option or the medical aid option?
Yeah. Tricky. I would say as a family member, and typically the advice that I would give to somebody that has a family, I would far rather advise a member to be on a plan that gives me both in-hospital costs and medical savings account, just so that I'm making provision for my expenses both from an in-hospital and a day-to-day perspective. And also just to analyze, so where are those children in terms of their ages? Because remember, different ages bring along different types of requirements.
Hmm.
So, you know, orthodontic treatment for a child who starts to get to the age of 12 might become really relevant. And also, when you have a medical savings account, you're not always required to fund those things out of your pocket, trying to make up for the expenses where your medical savings account gets given to you in advance. You have a lot more money available to you up front rather than you're trying to fund it and you're having to take out lump sums from saving.
That was Sandy Van Dale. She's a health branch manager in KwaZulu-Natal for Alexander Forbes.